Tell me this, have you ever thought of adopting a child? Has it ever crossed your mind? Maybe it's something you're actively pursuing as we speak. I'd love you to tell us your story. Maybe you are a parent who has a child or children in your in the warmth of your loving arms who you adopted. If you'd like to tell us your story, please do. 02890 333 105. It is, of course, a huge step and a massive decision for anyone to make. But how about adopting two children at once, or even three children? Apparently there's a need for more people to adopt sibling groups right here in Northern Ireland. I want to speak to Priscilla McLaughlin, who's the Director of Adoption UK in Northern Ireland. Priscilla, good morning.
Good morning, Frank.
First and foremost, Priscilla, what are the rules and regulations about adopting? Who can adopt? Who can come forward to adopt? How easy is it to adopt? All of those obvious, frequently asked questions.
Okay, well, let's start with some of the practicalities. There's a requirement that you're over 21 years in age, but there's no actual upper age limit for adopters. But as a guiding principle, we say that there shouldn't be any more than 45 years between the age of a child and a younger applicant. So if it's a couple who are applying, the age of the younger, or a single person between the age of the applicant and that of the child. Some of the children that are placed for adoption are slightly older, so older applicants would therefore be placed with a slightly older child, whereas if you're under 45, you might get placed with a preschool age child.
And are there any restrictions as to who can adopt, your status, your sexual orientation, anything like that?
Well, that has recently changed. I'm sure you'll be aware that there was quite a lot of press publicity about same-sex couples adopting, and we're very pleased that in 2013 a court judgment overruled the legislation in Northern Ireland that has opened the doors for same-sex couples to be able to apply, whether they're in a civil partnership or cohabiting, in addition to the more traditional heterosexual couples. But also we're seeing increasingly more single people coming forward and offering a permanent home to a family through adoption. So we're seeing the profile of adopters changing, and I think that can only benefit children by giving them more choice. That's what we're finding with some families who have had a more difficult journey to adoption, and I'm thinking perhaps about some of the same-sex couples, because they have had to cope with their own sense of feeling different and coming out. But actually some of those families are really well placed to talk to children about some of the complex issues that they have about their histories. So there's a more of an openness to talking about some of those difficulties.
Is there still an option where adoption agencies have a religious background? Is that still part of the reality in Northern Ireland, or is it state background completely now?
No, there are still agencies in Northern Ireland which traditionally grew out of the Catholic and Church of Ireland churches, but there's a much less emphasis on religious background. Although we do still have a requirement that children are placed with families who are of the same religious background, but we're hoping that situation will change. But there is a greater flexibility and a recognition that actually some of the children's needs are more important than their religious background. So, for example, a child with a disability or another special need, we would be trying to think about the best family to match those requirements, maybe, which we would say is being more important perhaps than their religious background.
But just to be clear on the recent legalities of it, a religious background or a religious adoption agency can't discriminate against a gay couple?
No. And they're very clear that they are open to accepting applications from applicants of whatever their sexual orientation.
So how much of a demand is there in Northern Ireland from... And just to clear one other thing up for me, I keep talking about couples. Must it be a couple to adopt? Did you say I missed what you said on that earlier?
No. We're increasingly seeing more single people coming forward to adopt. Yes, and that's been really helpful as well in terms of widening the choice for children.
Okay, so the position at the moment, how much of a demand is there from people who would like to adopt?
Well, there's always been a great interest in adoption in Northern Ireland, but just in the last year we've seen that interest slightly decline, and we're not quite sure why that is. I mean, I guess it might be related to some financial pressures. But it might also be the fact that there's been some negative publicity about adoption across the UK. So we're not sure what might be underlining that, but that's why we're very keen this year during National Adoption Week to really highlight the fact that there are children in Northern Ireland who are currently waiting.
Whenever, when someone fosters a child, there's a support mechanism put in place, a financial structure that, that exists. Does that exist for adopting a child?
Well, that's one of our challenges in Northern Ireland, because we've had a hold up with our adoption legislation, obviously with an assembly that can't move forward. And so currently, there is no legal requirement for statutory agencies to provide post-adoption support. Now, that said, most of them are, in fact, all of them are providing some degree of support, but they're not funded to provide that. So I guess what we've been trying to say to the Assembly and to the Minister when we had one was that it's really imperative that this moves forward so that there is adequate support for these families. Because, Frank, these children have the same level of need as any child in the care system. They have come from backgrounds of abuse and neglect. They have experienced drug and alcohol abuse in the womb. So they have quite complex needs, and these families can't be expected to provide the care and stability they need without support services.
I suppose we have this vision of a couple who, for whatever reason, can't have children, and they're hoping to adopt a little babe in arms. That's probably the ideal scenario, but that's not the reality.
No, the reality is that these are mostly children who have lived at home with birth families where, sadly, the situation has not been safe for them. Some of them will have experienced abuse and neglect. So they come into the care, and ultimately a decision is made that they should be placed for adoption, that return home isn't possible. And they will have experienced a level of trauma as a result of those experiences, and that is played out in their behaviours. So families need to be prepared for that, and they also need to know where they can turn to for help when those situations arise.
And what sort of, and I don't mean to be flippant about this, but I would imagine there are challenges. So what was on the tip of my tongue there was, what sort of hoops would the prospective parent have to go through to get the child or children into their family? I'm sure there are an incredible number of checks and cross-checks, and you're going to feel like you're being investigated, aren't you?
Well, and it's right that you should be investigated, because these are society's most vulnerable children, so we cannot afford to take risks with these children. We have to get it right. So we don't make an apology for the assessment process. It is a detailed assessment, but part of that, there is an opportunity for applicants to undertake some preparation training, and that's to really give them a much greater understanding of the complexities and the challenges around adoption. So that will include talking about contact that children have with their families, talking about some of the issues that children will have experienced prior to being placed, and what it's like to reparent a child who's experienced trauma. So following the training, there is then the assessment process, which is a series of interviews which will take place with the applicant or applicants, usually in their own home with an experienced adoption social worker, and talking through in a great deal of detail, I guess, what the family feel they can offer, looking at what their life experiences have been to date, what way they themselves have been parented, what the kind of messages that they grew up with, but really thinking about then what does that mean for how they will parent a vulnerable child in their care. But the idea is that together with their social worker, they will reach a decision as to, first of all, whether adoption is the right plan for them as a family, and then also, if they're thinking that adoption is right, what would be the most appropriate age range for them? Can they take more than one child? And what kind of circumstances could they take a child?
If the parents already have their own children, will the social workers ask the children whether or not they want new members of a family?
Very much so. Any child in the family will be as involved as is possible, depending on their age and level of ability. It's crucial that children of the family are involved in this process.
It could be, I don't want to sow seeds of concern or worry, but it would certainly impact on the lifestyle of a family, a new arrival or a couple of new arrivals. You could, and just to be blunt about it, you could live to regret your decision.
Well, That may be so, Frank. I would hope not. It's certainly not without its challenges, but most of the families that I spoke to would tell me they don't regret it. Life is tough at times, but there are also incredible rewards. So seeing your child learn something that they couldn't do when they come, and seeing your child open up and show affection and start that whole journey of recovery is incredibly rewarding. It's probably the most important thing that anybody will ever have the opportunity to do. So while it's tough, it's life-changing for families, but life-changing for children. Adoption gives these children a real opportunity where they have been denied that, and every child should have the right to have a family.
From talking to you, I get the sense that most of the parents who take on a child or a couple of children who they adopt, they don't tend to have any sons or daughters. The majority would be parents who don't have children. Am I right?
Majority would be, but it's certainly not exclusive. We do have, you know, a significant number of families who perhaps have already had their children who are grown up and felt they had room in their lives and in their hearts to provide care of another child. Could be someone who has had one child and then has experienced secondary infertilities. But also there are people who make a conscious decision that they're going to limit the number of birth children they have so that they can then offer care to a child in need.
And Priscilla, what about the rights when you become a parent of an adopted child? Are you that child's parent, hook, line and sinker, the birth parent? What rights do they have? What's the rules on that?
Most children who are placed for adoption in Northern Ireland are placed without the consent of their birth parents. So that means that a court is asked to make a decision as to whether adoption should be the appropriate plan. And as you can imagine, that's a very, very serious decision for a court to make. So the legal process can be complex. But once that decision is made, if a judge has decided that this parent isn't fit to continue to parent their child and the child should be placed for adoption, and an adoption order is granted in favour of the adoptive parents, they are the full legal parents of that child and they have every right that a parent by birth has. But that said, birth parents generally continue to have some degree of contact, and that's because we feel that that's in children's interests, that they grow up with the knowledge of who they are and where they come from. And I'm sure listeners of the programme will be aware of the Nicky Campbell long-lost family programme, and a very strong message coming out of that for anybody who watches it is the sense of loss that adult adoptees have because they haven't had the opportunity to grow up with the knowledge of their birth family. So I guess what we're trying to do is to give children that opportunity by having some degree of contact with birth family members. They grow up with that knowledge, but their legal status is very much that they are part of their adoptive family.
Yeah, I should emphasise that across Northern Ireland as we speak, there are so many families who are full of joy because of the adoption option. And it is indeed something that you're highlighting today because there's a significant need for siblings to be adopted, brothers and sisters to be adopted, to be kept together, to be in the same family. Is that the rule now? You simply will not break them up. They're either all adopted together or they're not adopted at all. Is that the policy?
No, where we can keep brothers and sisters together, absolutely, that will be the priority. But sometimes children have been so badly affected by past experiences that they need individual time and attention and love. And sometimes, therefore, a difficult decision is made to place brothers and sisters separately. Where that happens, those children will have contact with each other. And the other thing that happens, Frank, is that sometimes there are a lot of children within the birth family, so birth parents maybe lose a child to adoption, go on to have another child and another, so very large families which would be impossible to place together for adoption. So sadly, in those situations, those children will be placed separately, but as I've said, hopefully there will be arrangements in place for them to have contact.
Okay, and finally, Priscilla, if someone's listening and they're giving it serious consideration, maybe not for the first time, maybe they're now having thought about it before, deciding in their head, listening to you on the radio, that they would like to take the step, what should they do?
Well, they're very welcome to contact ourselves. That's Adoption UK, and it's 90-777-3565.
Okay, just give me that again. It's 90...
Sorry. sorry, Frank. Actually, if you look on our website, Google Adoption UK Northern Ireland, you will get our office number, but you can also download an information pack on adoption from the website. But you can also contact the Regional Adoption and Fostering Service. That's a service which covers the whole of Northern Ireland, and it will give you information about your local adoption team. So there are five trusts in Northern Ireland, and each have adoption teams. But in addition to that, then there are two voluntary adoption agencies, Adoption Roots and Family Care Society.
Okay, and the website is Adoption UK.
Adoption UK.
Okay, everything will be up there, right?
Yes. That's the easiest way to get the information.
Lovely stuff, Priscilla. It's an emotive subject. It's a vital conversation to have, because I think we've all painted a picture in our mind now of children of various ages who are at this moment in time, maybe in foster care, maybe in some sort of social care, and life hasn't been great for them in the early stages. Things are improving, but to have the loving arms of parents long term would just be fantastic. And if people are prepared to give it some consideration as a result of our conversation, then it's been 5 minutes well spent. And thanks for speaking to us.
And thank you for the opportunity, Frank.
Not a bother at all. Priscilla McLaughlin, the director of Adoption UK, and as she has suggested there, if you go to their website, everything's up there. That's the best way to get the information that you need.